طيب, the next question is, a sister asks, the idea of men having more than one wife blows my mind away. It just seems unjust to me. It doesn't seem right. What about the jealousy between the wives in this life? To me, it's not right. طيب, this question really must be addressed because it is a very common conception. It's a very common perception that our sisters have, especially having been raised here in this country. Really, dear sisters in Islam and dear brothers, we have to be cautious about the way we phrase our questions and our concerns. Because in the end of the day, Islam means submission. Islam means submitting to the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whether we understand them or not. If you don't want to have a co-wife, then you talk to your prospective husband beforehand. And you ask him not to marry a second wife. That some fuqaha have allowed it. But don't say that it is unjust or not fair or not proper. Because this is leading to something that's very dangerous. Okay, it's showing a type of dissatisfaction with the decree or the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay, you don't have to like it, but you have to at least agree with it. Okay, you don't have to necessarily like it. Even the Prophet's wives, Aisha radiallahu anha, his most beloved wife, was also his most jealous wife, or one of his most jealous wives. And when, and she has many instances we can say, we don't want to digress, but she herself was extremely jealous of the other wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and vice versa, they were jealous of her as well. Okay, so the point is, they were jealous, but they were satisfied, and they did not reject the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is no difference of opinion amongst the Muslims that it is allowed to marry more than one woman as long as certain conditions are met, and those conditions are laid down and mentioned in the Quran and Sunnah. Okay, so we have to phrase the question properly, that you should say, can you please explain to me what is some of the wisdom behind it, or you know, I don't understand. But it is not proper to say it doesn't seem right or it's not fair. This is a nasiha to me and to the sister and all of the brothers and sisters, that we have to accept the decree of Allah. To reject the decree of Allah is tantamount to rejecting Islam, because Allah says, how can you accept part of the book and reject parts of the book? أَفَتُؤْمِنُونَ بِبَعْضِ الْكِتَابِ وَتَكْفُرُونَ بِبَعْضِ. Islam is a whole package deal. We have to take all of it as it is. We don't necessarily have to understand everything. طيب, to answer the question, it goes back to something that I believe Abu Ali mentioned a few lectures ago, and that is that Islam and the Sharia takes into account the benefit of the society or the benefit of the majority over the benefit of the minority. And this is a rule without which society would go rampant and lawlessness would prevail. A human man, a person, a man, has a sexual drive that is not like that of the woman. And this is something that is well known. Look at the pornography industry. Which one sells more? Female pornography or male pornography? It's something that is human fitrah. The man is more attracted and more into that type of drive, a physical drive, than the woman is. Therefore, to cater for that need, Islam has allowed for this, even though it is not to the advantage of the wife, because it is for the advantage of the society. So I ask this sister here, which of the two do you prefer? And this is not just to this sister that wrote the question, but to all the sisters that have these type of questions in their mind. Which do you prefer? That your husband go and have zina or intercourse outside of marriage because he is not satisfied? Or that he legally takes a wife that is lawful to him shara'an, and according to the society, he is not a sinner and looked down upon? It's something that is allowed by the Sharia, and the society will respect him. Or that he's having a private affair with a mistress, or worse than that, with a prostitute. Which one is better? Likewise, there are so many advantages. For example, a woman cannot bear children. What will be her situation in this case? Does the man divorce her and go to another woman? Or does he take on another wife? Or anything might happen. Some type of issue arises where the man has to travel a lot, go to another city, and also be in one city. Yani, there are a million and one logical reasons that we can give. The primary one is the sexual drive. There's no doubt about it. But in the end of the day, this is something that Allah has allowed clearly and explicitly in the text of the Quran, and clearly proven in the hadith of the Prophet and the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. So we must accept it. And like I said, you don't have to like it, but you have to agree with it. And if you don't want to be in such a situation, talk to your prospective husband beforehand and explain to him your fears. Okay? And see what his response is. If he says, yes, I don't really intend to, then, you know, go ahead with it. If not, then you know from beforehand, you know, that it's probably better for you not to. Because it's not wajib for you to take, for a husband to take a second wife, but it is haram for you to hate or to be against the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay? So Allah ta'ala a'lam. And okay, Azam, you're taking this question.
just one thing, just going back to this thing about the urge of the man. Physiologically, it's known through medicine, I'm not a doctor or anything, that the levels of the sexual hormone, testosterone, is higher in men than it's higher in women. Secondly, the way it's released in men, it's very different than the way it's released in women. Men, the testosterone levels in men can increase within, 3 seconds flat. They can go from, from low level to extremely high levels, and not the case of women. Physiologically, this is established and well known in medicine. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taken this into consideration. But at the end of the day, the most important thing here is what Sheikh Yasser said, that let not any Muslim man or woman hate the hukum of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the sense of the acceptance and the submission to it. But as regards to whether they want it for themselves or not, then this should go back to the nikah contract, and they should speak to the prospective husband, as occurs in some of the well-known Sunni madhahib, like the madhhab of Imam Ahmad. Wallahu a'lam wa bihi tawfiq.
Also, I wanted to add on that point. Remember the principles we said. So whenever they come with something, as our students acknowledge it, they return to the usul and we explained why and all that. Then what was the next point that we said? How do you refute? Ask them, okay, what is your solution? What's going on in your society? Show me. If a man is not allowed to fulfill that desire in the lawful way, okay, you like the American way, which is what now? Almost every corner, we know what stores are there. That is the outlet. If you don't provide this outlet, there's another outlet that they have. What do you think the movie channels are for? The pay-per-view. You ever stayed at a hotel? The pay-per-view movies on the hotel? What are they for? So you, even this society provides you those outlets. And we say those outlets are wrong. And our outlet is honorable. So always go back to what is their solution, and they cannot show you because they have marriage after marriage collapsing. They have people that are addicted now to the internet and bad sites on the internet, such that marriages are being destroyed not because of any physical contact, but cyber contact. Can you believe anyone has pleasure in cyber contact? Why? Because the need is not fulfilled naturally, so they find artificial means. So the question to the brothers and sisters is simple. Do you want the Islamic, pure, halal way? Honorable and just? Or, if you really don't like the Islamic way, then what's the alternative? The Western way? And I don't think anybody would agree with that. There's another question. One answer a non-Muslim can give against the issue of slave concubines is that you could just marry them instead of having relations with them. This is a strange point, because the whole point of becoming one with the conquered people is that you have intimate relations with them. That's how you overcome looking down upon them. I mean, the marital act is a wonderful act that builds love. Without that, the love will not be built. Just like we had the example that was given earlier when the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ married Juwayriyah, and how the tribe was then freed after that because of the love that they had after the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ married that person. So half a marriage is not like a full marriage. Half love is not like the full love. So the reality is that if this marriage is not consummated, that the love will not be built. And also the question continues, today it is illegal to rape women when you are in war. That's great. The reality is different. And Islam is more than just words on a piece of paper. It is implementable. It is practical. Their laws, no matter how much they have it in their books, do not work. And so we agree that yes, it's in their laws, but it's all lip service. And the reality is, when a man is filled with anger and aggression, he just shot a few people and he's filled with the hormones, as Brother Abu Ali was mentioning. If he doesn't have iman to control it, he's not going to be concerned about any Geneva Convention.
question. Education in Islam is obligatory. So why do men get all the privileges of learning? I.e., they don't have to sit behind a wall for a lecture. This wall did not exist in the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This wall did not exist. I think they're talking about that. Yeah, okay. Well, yes and okay. I don't know about the all the privileges that men get and whatever. I mean, I don't know how the setup is here. Back in the UK, I can only make reference back to the UK. That's what I know. When scholars come over, when sheikhs and ulama come over, we give them. They have a separate session with the sisters, and this is reflecting the conduct of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would give a separate khutbah now and again to the women, because they have matters which are very specific to them. And so the scholars spend time with the sisters just for the sisters. Likewise, there are circles for sisters by sisters. If a brother were to attend, as an example, the circle of a sister for the sisters, he would be behind the wall. Now, if a sister wouldn't complain for that, really she shouldn't complain for the other. Okay? Second thing is, for sure, there may not have been a wall in the time of the Prophet ﷺ, but when the male sahabas, when the male companions of the Prophet ﷺ would go up to Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha, or Salama, from the fuqaha of the women, from the great scholar, womenly scholars from the sahaba radiallahu anhum ajma'een, they would talk to her from behind a curtain. She would give fatawa, religious verdicts, relate hadith from behind a curtain. Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahmatullah alayh, al-Hafidh ibn Hajar al-Asqalani, al-Sakhawi, they had female teachers. In fact, female teachers or female hadith scholars was quite a known fact up until at least the 8th or the 9th Islamic century. Then all of a sudden they just petered off, for what reason. And they would learn from behind a door or a wall or a veil or a curtain. So that was the norm. And that was only because of respecting where we can make segregation and contact between male and female can be avoided. Alhamdulillah, it could be taken. So the wall is something, here is something, is going to be useful for us. However, if a sister finds physically she can't, I mean, she just can't concentrate without a visual image, then let her apply herself and inshallah she'll get used to it. And speak to the organizers, and if they can find an alternative, then let them go for an alternative. However, there are many sisters, my brothers and sisters here, there are hundreds, literally hundreds of sisters, practicing sisters in the UK, who they have no problem with a wall. They are just as womanly as you are. They are just as sisterly as you are. And they have, and they have overcome this thing. And you'll find, in fact, you'll find, and I have to say this, subhanAllah, the sisters in the UK tend to take better notes. They're better arranged. They're more disciplined in their intaking of knowledge than brothers are. SubhanAllah. And this is something ma'ruf, mashfur, well known amongst the sisters in the UK. And yet they do this from, quote unquote, behind the wall. So inshallah ta'ala, let it not be an impediment. And inshallah, we can overcome it. Let's just appreciate one thing. When we're brought up in Western societies, it's possible, even though we practice Islam and trying to commit ourselves, we carry baggage which is antithesis to Islam. In this case, I'm indicating to women's lib movement. Many of the brothers and sisters, or many of the sisters in this case, they can be brought up with those kind of concepts, and they don't tend to eradicate it. Likewise, the macho image of the man, how the man should be. This is a jahili concept. The most manly of men was Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And there was no medallion involved, alayhi salatu wasalam. And therefore, someone who has this from the men, it's a jahili concept. We need to acknowledge it within ourselves and remove it. And inshallah ta'ala, sincere advice and nasiha wouldn't be amiss as well. Wallahu anhu wa bihi tawfiq.
As part of the organizer of the program, I just wanted to clarify a few points on that as well. We have tried in all our classes, in the classes that we have in Masjid Farooq or Main Center or even South Zone Masjid, we chose them so that the sisters could see the speakers. Okay? Because we realized that many sisters, find it easier to notate when they see the speakers. And the scholars have allowed the women to look at the men more than it is allowed for the men to look at the women. Men to look at the women. All right. So, in terms of the organization, we have tried to do that. Number one, this masjid doesn't have the facility. We were tinkering with the idea of trying to get a video camera and all that, but it didn't work out. Khair, I mean, and also it was a long day, and so it's easier when it's a long day for the sisters to relax, to be behind the wall, so that we thought they would be relaxed. They don't have to be in hijab for the whole day. It would be easier for them. All right. So in terms of the organization, I just wanted to give that insight and background that we were aware of the issue and we tried to take care of it. Also, based upon what Brother Abu Ali has said, it could easily be said, why aren't sisters talking? Why is it a bunch of men talking with big ear, with beards? Well, honestly, as Brother Abu Ali mentioned, where are the sisters with knowledge? And what we hope through these series of classes is that some of you behind the wall will be giving the lecture, will become scholars of hadith and tafsir, so that the brothers will benefit from this side of the wall. So the classes in the summer are meant for you, as particularly the sisters, because they're not working, to take advantage, to take the knowledge, to study at American Open University, whatever other means you can, so that you can get knowledge. And then if you have something that the brothers don't have, teach them, but the wall will still be there, just the voice will go in the other direction.
One of the things we actually found in the UK, it's just a point, when we started using the TV screen situation for the sisters, the speakers, the brother speakers, tended to get more proposals for marriage and triple marriage and quadruple marriage than ever before. And it's an ibra for sisters to think about.
So where's the video camera?
Inshallah, the food should be coming soon, so we want to continue until the food arrives. So we're going to go on for another 10 minutes, inshallah. 10, 15 minutes. So please send in questions. One person asks, can the man always humiliate his wife and insult her because she's lazy and inefficient only because she wants to stay at home and take care of the kids? Really, this man doesn't know the blessings he has that his wife wants to stay home and take care of the kids in our times. Wallahi, this man needs to be slapped on the face so he realizes reality. And he really, wake up and smell the coffee. Allah has blessed you with a wife that knows her place and status. She wants to help you in your job by raising the children and taking care of the household. And you have the audacity and the arrogance to make fun of her and ridicule her because she does her job as a Muslimah. Really, this brother, whoever he is making a big mistake. And Allahu A'lam, I think he is of the type that are money-minded type. They want their wife to work. They don't have a jealousy to protect their wives. They want to earn more money, so they don't mind selling their wives or sending them to do any type of work or job in the kuffar environment. Wallahi, if your wife wants to work in this, wants to stay home and take care of the household in this country, really you should pray to Allah extra two nafil every day to thank her. Because this is one of the big, to thank Allah, because this is a big problem that we have, is that the sisters don't realize this is for their good and for the husband's good. It is not a matter of equality in the sense you earn an income, I earn an income. Allah has created us differently. We want to protect our wives and our sisters and our mothers. We don't want them to get exposed to the outside world. Stay home and do what Allah created you best to do. You can take care of the kids better than we can. Every husband knows that. Heck, biologically they can take care of kids better than we can, as any person knows. Okay? So why is it then that when it comes to other matters we try to have equality when Allah created us separate? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَيْسَ الذَّكَرُ كَالْأُنْثَى. This is the verse that should have been quoted. It is a very important verse. وَلَيْسَ الذَّكَرُ كَالْأُنْثَى. Memorize it. It's four words. The man is not like the woman. It's that simple. Allah created us differently. Okay? وَلَيْسَ الذَّكَرُ كَالْأُنْثَى. Surah Al-Imran. Surah Al-Imran. That the man is not like the woman. They are two separate beings and creations. Allah, the Prophet ﷺ said, إِنَّمَا النِّسَاءُ شَقَائِقُ الرِّجَالِ. Men or women are the twin halves of men in the sense that they are complementary. They help one another. We cannot be fulfilled or completely do our role properly unless we have women. And women cannot do their role properly unless they have men. Instead of getting involved in doing exactly the same thing, we have to get involved in doing what Allah created us to do. We cannot have equality. We have different powers than women. Women have different powers than us. Women can do things we can never ever do. Even if the movies pretend that we can do it. Okay? And vice versa. So we need to realize this, and sisters especially, because you're under the brunt of attack. You need to become mature and realize Allah's law is applicable, and it is biologically, psychologically, and mentally, physically, it is perfect for you as it is perfect for us. There is no inferiority in obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is no demeaning or denigration, lowering your status when you obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If Allah says that your way through Jannah is by worshipping Him and then by obeying your husband, then wallahi you should be thankful that it is so easy. Like the Prophet said, that if you want to enter Jannah to the woman, then look at your husband. If he is happy, then you will enter Jannah, as long as you're doing your rights in Islam. Wallahi sister, I swear by Allah, if you truly desire the pleasure of Allah, this is a blessing for you. Because if your husband is happy with you, then you are content and satisfied, inshallah Allah is happy with you. Whereas for the husband, he will never know. He's always going to be in a state of fear and hope, has Allah accepted my deeds, am I doing everything properly? Do you realize, if you leave your fasting, instead of fasting 12 hours a day, you're eating and drinking all day long. Just because your husband wants you to, you're going to get more reward than if you fasted. If you make your nafil prayer shorter, or you don't even pray your nafil and sunnah, because your husband doesn't want you, you're getting more reward. Wallah, if you want the pleasure of Allah, then realize your situation is better than ours. If you truly desire the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if that is your goal, then your situation and your rulings are easier than ours. You don't have to pray a certain portion of the time, you're not sinful for that. Okay, you have to obey your husband above the sunan and the mustahabbat. All you have to do is do the minimum of Islam and then obey your husband, and you know your status, inshaAllah. Like the Prophet ﷺ said, that whatever woman prays her five prayers and fasts the month of Ramadan and pleases her husband, then she will enter Jannah from any door that she desires. Not just a minor status, a very high status. So ask yourselves, is it Western liberation that you want or the pleasure of Allah? Really, it comes down to this. All it comes down to is, what is your goal in this life? A pleasure of Allah, to earn the pleasure of Allah, or to be quote-unquote equal to a being or a species that is not equal to you. This is my point. So with this, inshaAllah, I'd just like to say though, husbands also realize this, that you're living in a society where our sisters and our wives are being bombarded with these type of filth, these type of messages. You have a responsibility as well. You have to go out of your way to show the proper image of Islam. And I speak to myself first and to my Muslim brothers, that if you're going to, If you be a little bit rude or a little bit deficient in your rights to your wife, then you're opening up the door for her to accept that filth and that propaganda coming in. So you also have a responsibility living in this country to do double, to go out of your way to make sure that your wife is satisfied with you as well. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam.
Also on that point, we have to realize that one of the major attacks against us as a nation is attacks against our family life. They are envious of our happy families. They are truly envious of the fact that we have strong marriages. They are truly envious of the fact that the man can leave the home and trust his wife, because they cannot. And they are envious of the fact that the woman knows when the husband's going out that he's not going to look at another woman. They are jealous. And they want us to leave that family way of life. And that is why they attack us. Because if we give up our family structure, we have lost Islam in the next generation. Even if you pray and you fast, but there's no Islamic foundation in the family, in terms of how they deal with each other, the next generation will not practice Islam. So we have to be aware of this attack on us. I also want to mention a story about, based on what Yasser was mentioning. I remember once we were in Walt Disney, and you know, Walt Disney, everybody comes to Walt Disney from all over the world. So there's this people that came from the Khalij, and the woman was the Arabian Peninsula, and the woman is all covered, complete black, you know, mashallah, you know. The man is wearing short shorts, you know, like a tita, just walking around, you know, next to her. Now the image is just wrong. You know, and you know, the men, you know, mashallah, they have hairy legs. So it even look worse. I mean, you have to be honest, all right? So this is something that we must realize, that when we go out, we present an image. And it's not for women to be covered, but we have to cover as well. And we have to dress loosely, and we have to dress modestly as well. And we have to understand that people are looking, when they see us together out in the streets, they're looking at you. I mean, it's through side glances, but they want to see, how does the man and the woman, how do they talk to each other? Is the woman walking behind? Who's taking care of the kids? Are they both taking care of the kids? I notice that when I'm out with my family, that people are looking quietly. So remember that yes, they're envious of us. They're jealous of us. But we have to also show them the right model so that they are attracted to our way of life, because it is closer to the fitrah.
Okay. Last question, inshallah, Abu Ali will answer it.
Just before I read it, I don't know what you have here, but back in the UK, I mean, for sure, you know, there are always going to be marriage problems between a husband and a wife, between a husband and his wives. And really, you need to, if you haven't got like kind of a Sharia court or a qadi or a judge that the community or the city, the Muslims in the city look up to and say, well, hold on, marriage disputes can be solved. Afwan. All right, okay. Marriage disputes can be taken to to him or to them. It's important because marital disputes will always occur, and sometimes they can't be solved by the members of each side of the family. It needs to be taken to a judge, a qadi. Here in the UK, we have a number of Sharia institution courts which deal with these things, and perhaps people need to start setting that up, because if we, you know, it doesn't matter how much we talk about aqeedah and how much we talk about this and that and the other, if the husband and wife are having problems in the marriage, nothing else is going to come into their mind because their hearts are not settled. So this is important. Question: a witness of a woman is considered to be half that of a man. What is the wisdom? Firstly, it's not imperative, it's not a requirement that we know the illah or we know the operative cause behind every Sharia ruling. We don't need to know it, okay? However, one of the things I can say of one of the wisdoms, and there could be many, many more, and the books of like Imam Ibn al-Qayyim, rahmatullah alayhi, are good for looking at the maqasid of Sharia, the objectives of the Sharia and some of the reasons behind and the wisdoms behind laws. But I don't know it in this case, other than from the medical aspect, it's known. The human brain has a right side, left side, and the right side has certain, it deals with certain tasks, and the left side deals with certain tasks. For example, the left side of the brain is very analytical. It deals with the linearity, it deals with concepts, numbers, figures. The right side of the brain is very artistic. It deals with emotions, it deals with spatial dimensions and things like this. Women tend to have, in general, I mean, there's going to always be exceptions. This is a study done by Rita Carter in her book, Mapping the Mind. It's a bestseller, it's about neuroscience, and I'm sure it's available, inshallah ta'ala, where she mentions that their statistics are showing that women tend to be less. For example, they look at things as a whole and not details. They can look at the broader picture and they have more trouble in relationship to man at focusing upon a detail. That could be, wallahu alim, I'm not saying it is, that could be a reason why women's witnessing is half that of a man, because witnessing requires specific detail, whereas women tend to have an overall view of things, and sometimes that's why they can be calmer in things. Second thing, which is also interesting in this book, Mapping the Mind by Rita Carter, is that she mentions women are multitasked. They can better take on two or three tasks at the same time than a man can. Hence, you know, for example, when I look at my family, Annie, my wife, and you know, she's explained, other sisters are like that. They can look after the children. They can be talking to another sister on the telephone, telling them a fiqhi ruling about, you know, how women should pray or whatever, and the dinner and the kettle's on the boil and whatever. And I've tried that. I mean, it's a major jihad. It's a major, major jihad. It's, you know, it's mushkil. It's very difficult. But that's because the nature, the physiological nature of women is that they can be they are multitasked more than men are. Okay? And therefore, our Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, there are certain physiological, biological differences which then lead to our responsibilities being slightly different in some cases. Sometimes they're shared responsibilities and sometimes they're not. That's why women have a maternal instinct over and above the man at a young age. For example, children, they say, studies on children, they say that when a child is less than, say, about 5, you know, 0 to 5, it really needs the type of care that only mothers could instinctively offer children. By the time the children is maybe between 6 or 7 to about 11 or 12, they need a male role model. They need a male role model, whether it's the father or whether it's other than the father. Because that's the time where they're... This is talking about boys, sorry. That tends to happen with boys. And you'll find in Islam, all of that's been taken care of. It's amazing, subhanAllah. It's really amazing that when you read modern books on neuroscience and child care and child upbringing, what they're saying have been discussed by the likes of Imam Ibn al-Qayyim, Abu Hamid al-Ghazali, Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah, you know, 1,000 years ago, of recent times, Shawilullah rahimullah ta'ala in some of his books, Al-Hujjatullah al-Baligha, mentions some of these points which now they're catching up with. So we say, Alhamdulillah, you're catching up.
جزاكم الله خير سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت استغفرك واتوب اليك